Welcome to Packet Pushers, a podcast on the data networking industry where real engineers get together to talk downright nerdy. A place where interval polling data doesn't mean politicians' ballots and B-grade celebrities doing talking head gigs to fill in the hours until the responses come in. We can discuss the joys of SNMP-based network monitoring and the reality of today's environment. Excited? Of course you are. When real engineers get together to talk, we don't have to apologize for being nerdy, technical, for waving our hands at the virtual whiteboard. Because today, dear listener, we are not lacking in network visibility or looking for performance charts or trying to check the logs to prove that it wasn't the network's fault. Join us as we lock the door to the secure area of the network operations center with the dim lighting, the flashing screen, and the dumb looks of panic when the alerts start. Because today's show is sponsored by HP Networks, and we are going to be talking to you about IMC Network Management, the integrated management console that HP Networks has put together. And having seen it a few times, it should be a great show. Let's run around the table and welcome our fair guests to the show today. First of all, start with my left of the right-hand man, Mr. Banks. How are you, sir?
Doing well. You said fair, and I was thinking, I haven't gotten out as much this summer as I should, and my skin is indeed fair.
I was meaning fair as in pretty.
Oh, I know. And I laughed again because we only have one fair guest on this podcast, and he'll be coming up in just a bit as he shared his video stream with us.
Okay, so let's introduce Les. Les, please tell people a little bit about yourself on the show. Who are you and where do you do?
Woohoo! Well, thanks, Greg. Les Stewart here. I'm the Director of Management Solutions for HP Networking. I'm based in the Palo Alto campus for HP, and I spend a lot of time in my home office, as this is where most of my lab equipment is.
Palo Alto, also known as the belly of the beast.
Yes. The mothership. The mothership.
Yep. And you've been climbing that greasy pole of the corporate ladder lately?
Oh, somebody gave me a lift up. Somebody gave me a lift up because yep. I just kept slipping on that thing. There's a lot of crap on that thing. So, but somebody gave me a lift up, and yes, I did move into a director's position, and now my responsibilities and my having extended to almost world dominance now. So yeah. I'm actually looking at management across several different silos, technologies, and even across business units as well.
I find this deeply amusing that you are a manager of network management. You know, I think that's quite amusing. Also with us today is Chris Young from HP. Chris, tell people a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Greg. I find it deeply amusing that it's not me making fun of Les. So, Chris Young, at Netman Chris on the Twitter. And I am a technical marketing engineer specializing in management solutions for the HP networking business unit. I'm basically, I'm one of the strange breed out there that I'm really a network guy who moved into management rather than, Unix or something else that fell into management. Right. So,
you're a real engineer. You're a voice CCIE. So.
I don't know if I'm a real engineer. We've had that conversation, but I'll take that title. Just a pleasure to be here today and to talk about the products and the solutions. And I work obviously hand in hand with Les on just trying to basically turn around the perception of network management in the networking community.
For sure. And also joining us today is Lindsay. Lindsay, please tell people a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lindsay Hill. I'm a network consultant based in New Zealand. I've been working in networking, security, management, and Linux admin for almost 15 years now. I've worked with a lot of different network management products over the years, going back to some of the old original HP OpenView and thing, which people, have their own opinions of. And then over the last few years, I've been working for a consulting firm. We've been helping people with installing and using IMC in the real world, as it were. So you get the Les view, and then you get this is what we're seeing in the real world.
So you're doing real-life IMC deployments, and you're actually running it in anger.
Unbelievable, isn't it? A real engineer doing real work.
That's what the pack of pushers is all about, Mr. People in the audience. I think the best place to start today is very quickly, just to set the scene, is I'm going to ask Les to give us a quick burst on what network management looks like in the network today. What does HP's take on network management look like?
Well, thanks. It's not really just HP's take. It's really what's happening in network management that's driving it. You know, long gone are the days of, well, actually, they're still around. Green good, red bad. You know, you want your performance chart. You want to see octets in, octets out, utilization. You want your alarms and so forth. But that, you know, that still exists. And, you know, when you set the stage for this podcast here, you had mentioned SNMP management. Yeah, well, SNMP is still around, good or bad, love it or hate it. But these days, to communicate with the infrastructure, there's a lot more that's got to be done. Pure SNMP management solutions have been left in the dust. You've got to be able to talk CLI, SSH, REST interfaces, NetConf. You've got a number of communication protocols to manipulate today's networks. So I've always said that, you know, when I talk to an audience for the very first time, or an audience that's not too well versed in management, you know, I give them this analogy: you wouldn't drive your car without a dashboard. You know, yes, you could, but it's not really a good idea. And driving today's infrastructures without a comprehensive management strategy is, yeah, you can do it. But the cost of today's downtime is tremendous. The impact to system degradation is tremendous. Network management has become critical. It's actually become a deciding factor in vendor selection, even. So if we look back to standards, there was the FCAPS standard that was started, 23, 24 years ago. It's an ISO standard. You can go look binds, fault configuration, accounting, performance, and security. Now, those tenets of management still hold true and are still very important in managing today's infrastructures. But today's infrastructures now are, you know, they're more than just layer 2 and layer 3, switching and routing. They now encompass SDN. They now encompass overlay technologies. The applications themselves that are running over the infrastructure is what is critical. So is the network really servicing and providing availability for the applications? There's a host of other driving factors that have really affected network management from where it was. So network management solutions have had to evolve. Now,
I mean, 10, 15 years ago, network management solutions were a custom piece of Windows code which did SNMP polling, and then when you turned your machine off, it went away. And then we built server platforms, and now we've got much better software. We've really got scalable databases, polling engines that are intelligently polling the databases. SNMP, the protocol is, you know, not the greatest capability in the world, but there's, you know, with some smart software, there's really great things you can do with network monitoring.
Absolutely.
And Les, to follow up on what you were saying regarding the platform has to evolve, it's not just, you know, monitoring bits with SNMP and polling certain OIDs and graphing statistics. It's now, is the network able to deliver an application in a timely way that means the user is going to have a good experience using that application? And then, as you also mentioned, virtual networking stuff, there's network overlays now where we're running multiple virtual networks on top of our physical networks. And how do you monitor that and look inside and decapsulate VXLAN, for example, and figure out what's going on in there? And there's a lot of challenges for network management vendors to be able to be successful and provide a complete network picture for a network engineer and for a NOC.
Absolutely. And that network picture has got to incorporate overlay and underlay, SDN, as well as our traditional network fabric, but also in traditional network fabric, you need a wired and wireless view. You know, one of the biggest impacts we've seen in the traditional network fabric is wireless proliferation. You see, you're seeing layer two fixed port sales and numbers go down across all vendors, but you're seeing wireless go up. Well, with that came BYOD. Everybody knows about BYOD, but what we've seen, for instance, even within HP IT, about 4 months ago, rolled out the IMC BYOD solution. And it was a success, but there were some problems. And the problems primarily centered around the network design, because now there were lots more people that were willing to use and accessing the wireless network, and that revealed some network design problems. It was interesting, again, but that's the BYOD itself is a form of network management, but then the monitoring of that, all that new wireless and user traffic was the follow-on part to the BYOD deployment.
The way I often talk about network management is it's the ability to prove it's not the network's fault.
Time to innocence.
MTTI, absolutely.
Minimum time to innocence, that's right. To me, you know, it's all about finding network management platforms. Is about, you know, is something up or down before you, and finding out about it before the CIO does is really the most important part. But then you start to get into granular things. It's about, you know, how much data is flowing in and out of an interface, what's the current code version, getting an asset list. Those are the sorts of things. So, Chris, why don't you give us a quick intro to the IMC platform that HP puts together. Give us a bit of a scope on what it does and how it looks.
So, yeah, absolutely, Greg. So IMC is a little bit different in and kind of the way that, you know, the tongue-in-cheek way of explaining this to customers that I use often is IMC was actually created post-Facebook, which is a little bit different than what a lot of network management apps that have been out there for a long time were. So it's based on a service-oriented architecture where we've actually got this concept of a base platform that then has plug-in modules that integrate directly inside it. And that's a really important concept that we'll probably come back to consistently. So the base platform is totally self-contained. You know, it does full FCAPs, right? So you've got fault, configuration, accounting, performance, all that good stuff in there. So right out of the box, you can plug it in, you can start getting all your maps, you know, all that good stuff. And then where appropriate, you know, for things like with Les's example for BYOD, for instance, there's a module that will allow customers, if they need and are dealing with those particular issues, to incorporate that module directly into their base platform and have it as a true single pane of glass, right? And this is not what we've seen in the industry is that term, that SPOG term, gets thrown around a lot. And in a lot of cases, it's duct tape and some HTML on top of, you know, fat 32-bit whatever apps that really don't talk to each other. This is actually, you can click on your topology map and you can see how many users are logged into that device, right? So it's kind of a different concept from what people traditionally have been used to. I think the other thing that we have done, and I guess from a background standpoint, when did we start developing? I don't know. I've lost track. I basically saw the software before it was born, before it was released. And we took a concept of kind of a dual personality role of it's built for engineers. So a lot of those stats, those performance, all that kind of stuff is in there. But we also took it development from an operational standpoint. So operationally, what is it that network engineers and network administrators need to do? Right, so we talked a little bit about the virtual networks, the overlay and the underlay concept, but if you look at it operationally, there's something where the network edge kind of moved, right? Operationally, we're still responsible for the network, but we want to be able to look at the virtual network not from a VXLAN style overlay, but how are end hosts actually plugged into a VMware box, into a Hyper-V box, and present that in a manner that is consistent with the way that network management, network administrators actually think and work in a consistent interface, right? vCenter is awesome for virtual administrators. If you've tried to troubleshoot networking issues using vCenter, it kind of sucks. And that's not a dig on vCenter. It's just
vCenter's for servers. It's not for network. It doesn't expose, you know, the vSwitch itself is just like a big fat patch panel, big dumb patch panel.
Absolutely, and you know, on the other side of that, IMC, server administrators would hate that, You know, they would hate to have to manage their virtual environment, but by being able to use, as Les said, SNMP is not enough. Being able to use the SOAP protocol, we can actually interface directly into VMware or using PowerShell, WMI, these kind of things into Microsoft environments. And we can show you that entire end-to-end path of what the system looks like from end user plugged into a switch all the way through into the ESX host, expand the ESX host, look at the virtual switches, distributed virtual switches, and show you all the way to what is the state of the VM running. Right, so you can actually see what the real network path looks like, independent of its, you know, wired, wireless, virtual, physical, even SDN or traditional legacy networks, you know, with the appropriate modules in place, right? So, you know, we've come, and I think we published the other podcast, I don't know, a month or two ago, something like that, and part of the reason why we wanted to talk to you guys is we figured, you know, we told everybody about the super cool stuff we can do.
Yeah,
but we didn't kind of come back to the basics and go, you know what, network management, everybody, I would argue, everybody needs it. Everybody should have it. And, you know, we didn't tell you what the base platform is and really kind of talk about why we think people should be choosing IMC over some of the other things that are out there or over nothing.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about how the solution goes together. So you said here about FCAPS. So FCAPS is the old model from years ago that there was a standards body somewhere that talked about the five parts of network ownership was faults, configuration, accounting, performance, and security. They're the five, and we often called that the FCAPS. Hey, look, I got that from memory. How's that?
Good.
Ooh. Ooh. Guess who did a lot of that in the old days? Yeah. And so, I mean, Chris, tell me how, if I was to go and get an IMC solution, get together, and then Lindsay, you put some color on this. Tell me what it is that you're doing with IMC in your network. If I was to deploy IMC today, what would I go out and buy? What would I start with? Because I know that IMC has got this modular sort of idea of you buy the bits and pieces that you put together. So how do we build one?
So you would buy, first off, the base platform, right? And that's really available in two editions, standard or enterprise. So IMC, from a scaling standpoint, goes into thousands and thousands and thousands of devices. So obviously, from a performance, we're going to reach the finite limits of a single individual box at some point, and we're going to have to break into a hierarchical model. So for the hierarchical, that's where you're going to need the IMC enterprise. Most customers will support up to 15,000 nodes on a single box, and that's the standard, right? So you buy the base platform software. And included in that is all the performance, the, you know, all that VLAN management, ACL management, the virtual network manager, which is the VMware Hyper-V piece, all that kind of stuff is included in the base package, right? From a licensing standpoint, the other thing that we've tried to do is make life pretty simple and not go into any, you know, bizarre mathematical equations and just said, you know what? If you have a license, that's a single node, right? So that's a switch or a stack of switches. How many monitors you want to actually, or interfaces you want to monitor, that's your, do however many you want. So we try to keep the licensing fairly simple as well, so it's not too burdensome on partners or customers, just to figure out what they need.
And that definitely helps. You know, when you're just trying to I've seen some other tools where you're trying to figure out, okay, well, I've got to do this many interfaces of this and that much bandwidth of that and this many, and it's I just want to know how many nodes I've got and tell me what the total count is and give me a license for that.
Yeah, that consumption-based licensing is like, you know, I'm pretty sure some vendors want to get down to how many polls a minute are you going to do, because we're going to charge you per poll, per device, per month.
I have seen those models.
I got to mention, that's the luxury of developing software for an equipment vendor. You know, if IMC were to go spin off and be its own software company, we would have to come up with some licensing models that would be like you generally see out there.
As in really pricey? Is that where you're headed?
I was trying to avoid saying that, but yeah.
You know what? The pricing is one part of it, but it's the complexity of just trying to calculate what you need and then finding out that you didn't, you know, how many you got if index in but not if index out.
Right. Well, this is probably a really good point to explain here, that IMC is a feature of HP's networking portfolio. I wonder, like, I've been through the IMC product with, you know, Les and Chris at various shows and been through the platform itself. And I think part of the, if you're a customer looking at IMC, you should see it as a really valuable part of a HP networking strategy. It's not just, we'll talk more about the multi-vendor capabilities in a minute, but it is certainly a key part of the networking strategy. Is that a fair comment?
That's a highly accurate comment, because there are features embedded in our operating systems and our devices, as with any vendor, but there's these features that we expose and make very palatable to IT people through the user interface, through IMC. So here's an example. Come on, guys. How long has 802.1x been around? All of a sudden, it's sexy again. All right? Put a wrapper on it, and it's one of the ways you deliver BYOD.
Yeah.
So I would even take it a step further and say not just strategy, but it is network management is one of the strategies incorporated into every single thing that we're doing right now. Everything that we're doing, there is a management component around it. All the mobility stuff, IMC is integral in that. We have SDN, and in this case, this is actually even better. Our IMC development team, you know, looking at the SDN controller, the VAN SDN controller, looked at it and went, guys, like so often happens, they forgot about management. They had no management capabilities, and this is still what we're seeing in a lot of the controllers out there. And they actually managed to influence that before going to market, and what was that, 50 plus some odd unique APIs were 52. Put from our 52. You know, Les has those numbers. I should. that's why he's the man, right? Director.
Yeah, that's right.
Director,
yep.
Stewart. So we managed to push those back into the product so we can actually deliver an entire solution that includes the management components for pretty much everything that we're doing right now, which is, you know, people don't want to just buy products. They want them actually to work, and they want to know they're working. And when they break, they want them to know they break. So why would we release products that don't have the capabilities to let them know that something broke? Right, so we're able to actually, in a lot of cases, be in front of the game.
And in some cases, Chris is spot on. What one of the initiatives that I'm driving, or actually it has already started and I'll be driving through 2015, is simplification and usability. Because, you know, throughout the years, network management has evolved. Lots of vendors, lots of solutions. And, you know, the desire for this feature, for that feature, has pushed developers and independent software vendors to add more and more and more, which has created a level of complexity. Well, now we're seeing a demand for simplicity. So I'm getting pushed to make things more simple. And it's not necessarily IMC, even though I am doing it within IMC through some templates, basically a single form that you fill out and it goes and does everything. We can talk about that later. But in making the devices themselves simpler to manage and monitor, they're turning to IMC for that level of action.
Yeah,
and
your product is now so mature that you're telling me you're spending time on user interface and user experience.
And indeed, but I want to point out, it's not just the user experience and interface for IMC. It's the user and interface and experience for HP networking.
Yep.
I wanted to break in there and actually dive into that for a second. I mean, is this just an HP networking platform product as far as IMC goes?
I was actually just going to kind of say the other thing I think that we needed to talk about was the multi-vendor aspect. So thank you for the segue. That is what we call a phenomenal question, because it actually led me to what I wanted to talk about. IMC, again, from if you look at the vendor management platforms, you know, it is vendor X releases platform X and we support ourselves and nobody else.
Or they may support other people somewhat generically or poorly.
They'll ping it and tell you if it's up or down, and that's about it.
Yeah, if even that, you know, they might ping it and not tell you and make you go look. Yeah, I've had experience with those ones too. We kind of looked at it a little differently and tried to say, you know, from an HP perspective, coming into a very mature market with an incumbent in place, we wanted people to have a reason to look at our hardware platforms, but also our management. And, you know, management is the easiest way to do that with the kind of the state of where the market was. And so we actually included support for, you know, the Cisco devices for all the advanced management stuff. When you talk about third-party management, as Lindsay said, it's green is good. We ping it and that's it. We didn't do that. We've actually got configuration management. We've got full software releases. I can push iOS images. We even went into integrated into the base platform, which is another really interesting feature, is VLAN management. So I can actually go into a 3560, 3750 switch. I can turn VTP mode into transparent. Personally, I hate VTP. I've had that issue. We all know that issue. I've had it happen to me twice.
So I can you bring down a data center, Chris? Bad day?
Was not me. It was a campus, and it wasn't a data center, and it wasn't me. I just had to clean up the mess.
Did you have IMC running to prove that?
IMC didn't exist at the time. If it would have, we would never have seen the problem.
All right, there you go.
So the cool thing is that then we can show it on a graphical map, and then I can just select the devices I want, and whether that's an HP device, whether that's a Cisco device, whether that's, you know, different style of HP devices, it doesn't matter. I've abstracted that all away. So in some senses, I hate to use this word, but that SDN word, you know, where I'm using software to define what the network is doing, and I've got this concept of kind of a hardware abstraction layer underneath it. And I just right-click and I say add VLAN. Add VLAN 10. It's got a VLAN name of guest user, and please add it to all the trunk ports between point A to point Z.
Okay. Or point Z. So you've alluded to Cisco multi-vendor support in there and cited some specific examples in the Catalyst line of some switches where you could do this kind of stuff with. What about beyond Cisco?
So that's where things start to fall off a little bit, right? There's some Juniper in there, there's some Nortel in there, Aruba support as well. But obviously we've gone over where the majority of the market is going. So, and this is kind of where I will ask Lindsay to chime in, as the other thing that we've done is we've provided in full documentation on how to allow users to extend their own devices, device support. So if you've got, for instance, a Fortinet firewall that we didn't write adapters as HP for, there's nothing stopping a customer from doing that themselves or a partner from offering that as a service.
And I've done just that. The multi-vendor thing's a really interesting one. All the customers that I'm working with are running mixed networks. You know, they're not just HP. They're not just Cisco. They're a mix. And, yeah, the standard stuff out of the box, the HPs and the Ciscos, that's all covered. That's all good. But then, yeah, the engineer says to me, oh, yeah, well, I've got a Fortinet here and I've got this brocade here. And the interface looks kind of like this. What can we do to do the config management for those? And I've been able to go and extend IMC to go and pull configs off those devices, do my backups, push out code, whatever I want to do to them. It's not always pretty and super simple. If you've ever worked with Rancid, you'll see some of the similar concepts there. A lot of fun with XML, Tickle, and Perl scripts. But the point is you can do it. It's fully supported to do that. And it's, you know, it's quite realistic for a partner or a customer to do that themselves. You don't have to go back to HP and say, hey, I need you to develop blah for me.
As far as fully supported, did you actually have to go back to HP for a little help getting something written? Or
I should be clear on there. Fully supported, it's the environment to develop your own device adapters to back up a Rocade device or whatever, that's supported. The actual adapter yourself, well, if you screw that up, that's, well,
okay.
You know. You're on your own there.
The tools are there. The tools are supported, but you got to be smart enough to use them.
We provide you exactly enough rope to choke yourself.
Yeah, which is exactly the same as the alternatives of Python and Ansible, right?
Yep. Yeah. So, and I think, you know, I will, Lindsay didn't mention this, so I will for him, is that Lindsay, out of the goodness of his heart, a lot of the work that he's been doing and some of the other people in the community, they've created a website called NetOps Community, where a lot of these adapters that have been developed, which are not HP supported, clearly not supported by us, but you can download them and you can actually take advantage of his work and the work that other people are doing. So it's nice to see, you know that a tool is starting to be useful when users start, you know, user communities start popping up and people start sharing their work.
Yeah.
Right. That's probably one of the most exciting things for me.
Yeah, with that one, sometimes it's a new adapter, like say a Fortinet adapter or something like that, or a Mikrotik I was working with the other week. Or sometimes it's a case of there's some new Cisco devices out there which HP doesn't yet have listed as supported, and we can push out the extra little bits of code that people need to go and add those in.
So extending from multi-vendor support, there's also virtual network management. So a lot of us are now starting to get into this, you know, that we've got VMware or KVM, some lucky people are running KVM, or some people are even starting to run these overlays in with VDS and VXLAN and things like that. How does IMC handle that?
So out of the base platform, we've got, it's a component called VNM, the Virtual Network Manager, and that out of, again, this is included, there's no additional licensing for this. You're going to burn a license for, obviously, for managing that ESX host or that Hyper-V host. You've got to discover it. You've got to put in the credentials, all those good things. But once you've got that in there, we're able to draw on the instrumentation available in those platforms to be able to look and provide a network-centric view of the virtual environment. You know, we talked about this a little bit before, and I think that's the most important thing, is that it allows me as a network administrator, I can go in and look at the status of, is that VM up or down? I can look at performance tracking and pull it without turning SNMP on the ESX host or having to do it from the device, I can actually pull those directly out of the vCenter. So I can get the vCenter stats, but presented how I'm seeing the rest of my network environment. And I don't have to flip into vCenter. I can get, I'll add in all my ESX hosts. I can track where a host lives. I can see its running state, all that kind of stuff. And this is where, you know, mileage may vary depending on the version of the particular hypervisor you're running. We'll provide extended functions. So I can do things like on a VMware device, I can actually go and look at the port group. And, you know, we kind of see this one all the time where the VMware administrator sets up his box and says, hey, my vMotion's not working. And without having to go into vCenter, I can go into IMC, look at it, look at the port group and go, oh, you silly VM guy. You know, you didn't set the .1Q VLAN tag on your port group, mm-hmm. like you should have, like I've told you 1,000 times. And then
Very real. That's today's networking. Yeah. This isn't some future cloud orchestration, integration, SDN, blah, blah, blah. This is using what's in vSphere and vCenter today.
Absolutely. This is not overlays. This is what people are doing now. And then the best part about it is I don't have to tell them what to fix, assuming that I've been given the privileges, the account that I'm using to access that vCenter or those ESX hosts or Hyper-V. I can actually type in 10, hit OK, and fix it for him without ever leaving my network-centric tool. Right? And that's just that, not having to do, you know, somebody in our real marketing department kind of coined this term, and I love it. It's swivel chair management. You don't have to go through that swivel chair management. You stay in the interface that you're in all day long, and you don't have to bounce around. And, you know, just getting into vCenter sometimes is, it takes this kind of, you have to switch your head into a different direction to find things.
Yeah, and in many organizations, that vCenter is not going to be the tool that the IT manager is using. That's a smaller environment that has an IT guy that's also in vSphere tools. What Chris mentioned, spot on, and what I think he mentioned, he just described stuff that was in the base platform. That's what you get. Boom. It's part of our whole FCAPS. But in addition, for virtual network management, we've got another module called VAN Connection Manager, and that's all about binding VMs, the VMs that you can see through the platform, as Chris described, binding them to the top of rack dynamically. Now, for that, there is a vCenter plugin. We're also using the vCenter APIs, but through that plugin, the vCenter or the systems administrator can choose a connection profile. And that connection profile will be bound to the VM or the application that he's working with. So when that application is deployed, the APIs is used, the VM announces itself, IMC discovers the host and the top of rack switch and the interface, and then configures that port on the fly. If that VM should move, a vMotion, the original connection is tore down and a new connection is established as defined in the connection profile, which will define things like quality of service, allowed IP addresses, VLANs, QoS, etc. Pretty cool.
But you've got IMC actually doing that. I've heard of some hardware platforms that can do that, basically follow a VMware guest around and make sure that the physical port is able to cope with it and make the profiles follow, but not a controller. Well, it would be, I don't know if it would be fair to call this a controller as such, but...
I like to use the term programmatic NMS. Right, I tend to be a purist from an SDN standpoint. I like the, you know, controller with centralized knowledge of state definition. So this is definitely an orchestration automation, but I would, for me, it's just my own personal, I like to separate it and go programmatic NMS, SDN is over here.
I'm with you actually on that. As soon as I was thinking the word controller, it's like, well, that's something, a controller function, but not really what a controller is. Programmatic NMS, I agree with you. I think that encapsulates it pretty nicely.
And again, I guess, you know, to Les's point, that's the modular architecture, is there's not everybody who's going to require that connection tearing down, ripping up, you know, moving things all over the place. Maybe it might just be a guy with a couple of ESX hosts, right? So we definitely want to address that with what's in the base platform. And then we want to have these extended modules which provide a lot more functionality. Where appropriate, the customers can get in the pool on those and integrate it totally into their solution, right? And that's a lot of the stuff in the VAN Connection Manager actually leverages the VNM portions, you know, and that's that connection bus in action, right? So it's not, it makes our development a little bit faster because we can leverage parts from different different modules or leverage functions from the base platform just to get something out, right? So it's it makes things, you know, and having it all in the same, in that one single pane of glass. Like, I think that's, that can't be underestimated operationally, how big that is.
Yeah. You know, something that Chris just mentioned, I want to point out, you know, the end user really doesn't care, but hopefully somebody in this audience really goes, ooh, that's cool. IMC was architected with a bus-based architecture. We call it MDP, Message Delivery Processor. It's a traditional bus methodology. So what that enables us to do is any module that we develop, whether it be for wireless, for MPLS, for IPsec, for firewall management, whatever, we can develop that module independently. We don't have to compile the whole platform. It allows customers and users to add in new functionality without having to reinstall their whole platform, because the module will just plug into the communications bus and start publishing and subscribing the information, you know, traversing it. I think it's pretty cool.
So the advantages of developing software in the modern era is you've got IMC. This is something that I think I asked you this question a few years back. Is it's got nothing to do with Network Node Manager. This product is completely developed from the ground up, separately from and in its own relationship. So it doesn't bear any of the baggage from that from NNM.
I'll give you the good corporate citizen answer in that absolutely we will integrate with them and we'll be able to do all that rolling things up into the platform to go into the whole BSM suite. But yeah, this is a separate code base and was developed as a separate product.
Because Network Node Manager is not very good for networking.
I work with the old Network Node Manager with the new Network Node Manager and IMC. Yeah, they're all very different.
It's not a criticism. It's just NNM was never that network-centric. It was, you know, it was just a product that did a certain thing. And the word network is unfortunate because it's not for network.
It was born, you know, and I got to mention, I was the number 7 developer on OpenView. I actually have one of my few patents. It was for a Visual Basic controller for providing SNMP commands to third-party developers on the OpenView platform. And, you know, it is a formidable tool still, but it is an SNMP platform. And as, you know, we've been talking about different technologies, Chris has been elaborating on some of them in depth, especially in the virtual space. I hope it's clear to everybody listening, management of today's infrastructure is way beyond SNMP. Way beyond SNMP. You've got to talk a myriad of protocols in order to communicate with the physical and virtual network. And this, you know, NNM, as it's now called, Network Node Manager, it's an SNMP management platform. And there's still some of them out there, you know, SolarWinds, What's Up Gold, and NNMI, and a whole bunch of others are still SNMP management platforms. But IMC, being responsible for the deep dive of the infrastructure, has to talk deeper than SNMP.
Yeah, it's not enough to just use SNMP. I wanted to very quickly, before we get to the wrap-up, is talk about the difference between what IMC can do as a network management system and what SDN will do. Because we've in the previous show that we talked about HP Virtual Application Networking, or VAN, and the VAN controller. And I just wanted to talk about, A, the difference between SDN and NMS, and also to talk about how IMC and VAN work together. I mean, maybe, Les, do you want to kick it off with a bit of a business throw out? Like, give us some of the business focus and then throw it over to Chris and
Sure. Well, we'll play together on this. But, you know, network management versus SDN. Okay. Well, yes, you could say that network management or software could do some of the things that SDN is doing. But the biggest difference is that network management and application software such as IMC is going to operate at best in seconds, whereas we're talking milliseconds of decisions and network decisions being made in an SDN environment. That's the fundamental difference. And that I said at best seconds. Now, have you seen a polling interval less than 5 seconds on any management tool? You'd be pushed, you'd be pressed to find a 5 second polling interval, and you better only be polling one device, maybe two. All right. But you start getting over 100 devices, thousands of devices, your polling and the ability of the application to keep up with, you know, sending out messages and receiving them goes up also. So you're now talking minutes of a response time. That's the fundamental difference between management, NMS, and SDN. It's going to operate at a millisecond level. All right, so the two should be complementary. All right, SDN is going to be driven by the applications that are making decisions to direct the network. HP's got a couple of examples with its network protector and its network optimizer. But what we're seeing and what we expect is that an SDN, aka OpenFlow environment, is going to be running in parallel with the traditional network fabric. Well, I've only seen one pure SDN deployment or OpenFlow deployment. Everybody else, the few that are going there, are running hybrid. Now, here's where management comes in. You've got to be able to manage, have visibility as well as control in this hybrid environment. So IMC is already doing it, though, for the traditional fabric. So now, in IMC can talk to the controller just as an application would talk to the controller. And as Chris mentioned, we've pumped a lot of API enhancements. So now IMC can pull relevant OpenFlow topology, fault, configuration information and bring that into IMC so the IT administrator can see how the SDN or the OpenFlow environment is working in conjunction with his traditional network fabric. That's the difference in the way that we're doing it. But I hope that also clears up the difference between NMS and SDN. Two separate camps.
So let me take kind of a different stab at explaining that as well. And I've spent working for HP, obviously, we've been in that OpenFlow camp since Athane, like a long time. So I've had the benefit of thinking about this a lot.
Well, let me just add an apocryphal story there. I met you at 2010 at Interop in Las Vegas, and that was where I found out about OpenFlow. Was talking to you, and then I met with NEC, and they're the two. You are the two companies who've been doing OpenFlow for longer than anybody else. And even before then, HP was absolutely in it much further earlier than that. Around 2007, 2008, you had OpenFlow code way before everybody else.
Yeah, I think we were the first to release commercially available 1.3 code, and it was offered without a support contract.
Mm-hmm. But that's important because HP's had a long time of maturing this. It's not like, oh, we just realized that a couple of years back that we have to do something. Oh, well, we'll get started and see what we – oh, hell, this is a thing. HP's been there right from the start.
Absolutely. So from an NMS standpoint, I think the most important thing to understand is even though we've got all these device adapters that we can do hardware abstraction and all this other stuff, we're always limited by whatever is presented to us by the device. So if we want to do ACLs, we have to be able to think about the complexity of whatever the ACL implementation is on that particular device. Whereas with OpenFlow, we're actually going and jacking in underneath to a certain extent and bypassing all the protocols and going straight to the forwarding plane. So that allows us to do some really unique things that you're just never going to be able to do with NMS, not directly. On the flip side of that, where I think we get far more complementary is with things like our SDN manager, is with protocols. The current state of protocols like OpenFlow is there's no fault management. Not that we've seen yet, at least in there. It is purely a control plane, forwarding plane programming protocol, right? So what happens when your controller power supply dies? Or you have a switch that has four DPIDs, data path identifiers, an OpenFlow logical switch running on that physical platform, and one of its power supplies dies. You still need to be able to tie this stuff all back together and understand the context of what the entire network as a system looks like. And I think that's where network management is more, we're trying to stitch together the legacy, the overlays, the underlays, and bring it all together to provide that view of the entire network as a system. And even, you know, look at some of the modules like the application performance management, APM, SHM, bring in synthetic transactions, bring in application synthetic transaction data, and provide what not only just what the network looks like, but what services running on top of the network look like. Right. So that's really network management is far, far more than just SDN. Don't know if that helps.
It does. I mean, SDN, I often say network management systems simplified, grossly simplified, is polling data. You read and you present data back to people. SDN is the reverse of that. It's about taking configuration, your intention, your policy, your will, and putting it into the network state. And at that point, this is where we're at today. And over time, I think the two will eventually merge. SDN and NMS will probably become indistinguishable because the SDN configuration APIs have a much richer functionality in the device to be able to provide better capability over time.
Don't tell anybody.
Now, Greg, I think NMS is going to roughly be an application that runs on top of an SDN controller, something along those lines. That's architecturally, that's the long term what makes sense to me.
Want a job?
I'll bet you a dollar it'll be the opposite.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see. It's going to be wonderful watching it happen.
Yeah. Well, it has to. I mean, you can't configure your network without visibility. You have to be able to see. When you configure SDN, like today we configure the CLI and we think we know the way it's going to work. So if you're going to configure it using some sort of programmatic API, you have to have enough visibility to know if that what actually happened. Or if you're going to make a programmatic change, you have to know that it's going to do it a certain way or measure it to make another programmatic change. It's no longer enough to just sort of, you know, replace the CLI with a Python script. I don't think that's going to – it's certainly going to help, but it's not the longer vision that we need to achieve. So,
yeah, you need to have that historical, you need to have the current state, you need to have, you know, the change, the after change, verify that the change you made actually had the behavioral effect that you wanted to.
Yeah, once you can make changes on the fly, you can actually start to make changes every hour or every half an hour. So what informs the change that you're going to make? You know, if you've got an overloaded interface, how are you going to split traffic off that interface? If you've got a device which is, you know, not performing the way you expect or you want to change the path through the network, you need to have visibility and control functions in the network to be able to make those. But the only way you can make a change in the control plane, you know, divert traffic, drop traffic, quash it, shape it, whatever it is you're going to do, is to have visibility into the flow. And NMS, you know, the IMC platform that we've talked about is doing that today. There's your visibility function. It's just got to come across to where VAN is and integrate the two. And I think, Les, in the last show, we actually talked or hinted at this, that there is a convergence in this area going on.
Absolutely. And, you know, you could call it application this, application-driven management, application-centric industry. You can call it that, whatever you want to. But you know what? An NMS like IMC is sitting on a ton of telemetry, layer 2, layer 3, layer 4 to 7, flow information, the virtual infrastructure information. It's time to start taking that telemetry and feeding it back into the traditional fabric, but also making it available to SDN applications that are controlling the OpenFlow domain as well.
That should be just about it for today. I think that's a great place to halt the discussion, and I'm sure we'll be able to pick it up sometime in the near future. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us today. Chris, why don't you quickly tell people where they can find you on the internet?
So I, at NetmanChris on Twitter, and I guess the only other thing I would like to say is a 60-day free trial, hp.com/networking/IMC. Check it out. Try it. It's good stuff.
That's pretty good. And Les, tell people where they can find you on the internet.
Oh, you can find me. Well, you can see several videos of me on YouTube. Just Google or just look for Les Stewart. But I'm at Netman Les as my Twitter handle.
Okay. Lindsay, tell us where we can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter as at NorthlandBoy or on my blog at lkhill.com and also on netopscommunity.net, which is more community IMC-related site.
Okay, just making a note there to put that into the show notes. So just to let you know that's a wrap for the show this week. And thanks very much to HP Networking for sponsoring the show. And thanks to you, the audience, for listening to the Packet Pushers. Mr. Banks, any closing thoughts of greatness from you?
Closing thoughts of greatness. My goodness, such pressure. Now I don't know if I can perform.
This is a podcast on data networking, not about your personal problems.
The closing thought about IMC is that I've seen the interface and it doesn't suck. Make the effort to go and take a look at the product. It's definitely worth a trip to see how that platform might work in your environment. That is a fair thing to do. Me having actually seen the product in action a few times, and I probably should go up and do the eval myself because I'm ready for something to replace one of the boxes that I'm using today. A vendor who that shall go nameless. If you want to follow me on Twitter at ecbanks and my blog ethancbanks.com and also up at Interop, I'll be at Interop New York speaking and so on, and would love to see you there.
And of course, I'm Greg Farrow. You can find me on my blog at etherealmind.com or on the Twitters as at etherealmind. I will be in San Francisco for the Intel Developers Forum. Thanks to Intel for that. And if you want to catch up with me, there'll be an opportunity to go and have beers and meet. Just get in contact. I'd like to thank you for listening to our show. Thank you to Les, Chris, and Lindsay for joining us. We'd love to hear your feedback about today's show, so send an email to packetpushers@gmail.com and let us know what you are thinking. We really read them, although we are slow to respond. Apologies in advance. Alternatively, you can check out the podcast website on packetpushers.net. Leave comments on today's show. Tell us what you thought. Tell us what you didn't think. And find links, of course, to all the blogs and to various places where you can get more information about HP's IMC. And last but not least, follow us on Twitter as @PacketPushers, on the Google Plus, the LinkedIn, and even Facebook, although it's a bit of a graveyard for networking there. And as always, remember that too much networking would never be enough.